and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
I want to talk about, and the topic coming into this whole month of series in November of faith is organic faith. The reason why I like that word, because it has so many connotations to it. But we all know, all of us know, that within our own life, it's easy to grow stale. It's easy to get stuck. It's easy to create something that becomes so produced that in its production, it loses its energy. There's no vitality left. We've all been there. And stale things don't taste good. I happen to have been through the years, and not anymore, but through the years, I used to love glazed donuts. Oh, yeah. I ate a dozen of them one time. One time I used to eat a dozen of them. And a big thing, orange juice, a dozen of them. And so Ginger, she doesn't do it anymore, but she found a place that made glazed donuts as big as a wheelbarrow tire. Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I'd see that thing just, you know, you want to talk in tongues. I mean, it just does something to you. But anybody that's ever eaten a glazed donut knows that you've got to eat it when it has to be fresh. I mean, if you put it out and wait till the next day, the glaze disappears. It does. I don't know how, but it dissipates. It's just dry. And there's no glaze, there's no shine. It's just there. You don't want it. Well, the same thing can happen within us. We can lose the shine, the organicness, that part of faith in Christianity that makes it alive. In Romans chapter 12, verse 11, the NIV translation, I've always been gripped by this because of the way it communicates. It says, never, never, and that's a powerful word, never be lacking in zeal, in excitement, in energy, in vitality. Never be lacking, never be lacking, never be lacking. It's easy to lack. The commandment, the word, the impetus here, the direction, never be lacking in zeal. But keep. That's only something you and I can do. God can show us how, but we have to do it. But keep your spiritual fervor, your faith, your energy, your excitement serving the Lord. Only you and I can do that. And so in order to do that, we have to initiate things within our life. Those things just don't happen automatic. I just don't wake up. None of us wake up every single day, 365 days out of the year, with this intense enthusiasm and excitement. We wish we could, but we don't. But you discover that motion will always create emotion. It always does. Don't wait for the emotion, because you're going to wait a long time. A long time. That's why when Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5, don't quote me on this, but it's somewhere around Matthew 41 or 42, he listed actions, and there was five of them. He talked about other people, you know, pray for other people, do good, and so on. He listed five things. He listed action, because action always changes. Motion changes the emotion. So sometimes when you're not there, you just begin to engage in motion. You push the thing. Pretty soon you feel an emotion coming, and so on. So we want that. We want to create atmospheres within our. That's why we need this. That's why we need church. That's why we need each other. Sometimes you can be down. Somebody comes across, they lift you up. But we want our faith to have a sense of organicness. Everything Jesus did, when he described the move and he described the Holy Spirit, you look at the book of Genesis, it said God breathed into Adam the breath of life. Jesus then later on breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The Bible said that the Holy Spirit is like a wind. You don't know where it came from. You don't know where it's going. It just begins to move. And but there's an organicness about God. Jesus never did the same miracle twice the same way. He saw the individual. I've said this for years. Jesus never preached to crowds. He preached to people. He always saw the individual. Do you realize that all the miracles we talk about in the four Gospels, all of them, every single one, there's not one that we don't talk about that was not a one-on-one miracle. We love the crowds. We love the people. We want to reach as many as we can. But every miracle that we talk about, it was one-on-one. It was one-on-one. And everyone was so individualized because he saw into the heart. He knew that that person had to be affected just a different way than this one. And so I'm going to say something to this one that I've never said to anybody else. And I'm going to say something else to this one that I've never done to anybody else, because we are individuals. So God wants to revamp our faith, wants to make the thing come alive. We have gone through the years on and off to the nation of Mozambique, as in the eastern part of Africa, right on the Indian Ocean. Long, thin nation under communism rule for almost 16 years. And it's just an amazing story. At one time, it was listed as the poorest nation on earth. That's when communism came in. They blew up the churches. They literally came in. First thing they did is with tanks. I was there. Blew up. The people only had tree bark to cover their nakedness. Terrible. They were eating grass at one time. And grass, you don't need grass. Grass, it'll poke holes in your stomach. But so we were way up in the northern part, a place called Nacala. And from Nacala, they wanted to take us. There's a Bible college up there. From there, they put us on this boat. Ginger and I put us on this old boat. I mean, it had a homemade white sail, a wooden thing. And so we went across this little peninsula, this little area, to an island. And prior to getting on it, they said, well, on that island is the highest, most powerful strain of malaria in the world. That's what they told us. That's very comforting. And malaria is not good. And so... But they said, it's good, because we have a course of pills. And then they give you directions. They literally give you this whole thing for the symptoms, because it has a two-week incubation period. And they say, in about 2 weeks, if you have hot and cold chills are coming and all this stuff coming, just take it. Even if you don't think you have it, take it. Because one thing about malaria, you can't let it get a jump on you. And they said, this particular pill will kill it in 3 days. Now, the thing about malaria is organic. All diseases are organic. That means they're alive. They're living. Viruses, diseases, they're living. And they can outsmart a chemical, because a pharmaceutical pill is processed. It has a derivative from something that was living. And then what was living gets killed, and it's processed, and it works to a degree. But all of us know, even when penicillin that came out, you know, around the 1940s, they called it the wonder drug, and it worked great. And then it stopped working. So they had to come up with another type of penicillin, or another type, another type, another type, another type, because the disease outsmarted it and created a different strain, a different strain, a different strain, a different strain. And that's what happens. You don't, and so, but, this particular pill is the only one that can kill any strain of malaria that exists in the world. Because it's organic by nature. It comes from the Chinese wormwood. It's called Artemeter. And it can morph with the strain. So when the malaria morphs, it morphs with it. It changes. Bam! Kill the thing. Incredible. And so I thought to myself, if the only thing that I retain, if I process Christianity, if I overthink Christianity, if the only thing I do is live by a creed or a doctrine or a theological brain, theology's never raised the dead. Theology's never healed diseases. You need an amount of theological study, but theology by itself can become worship to the degree that my Christian faith, my faith in it, becomes processed. It's like a pharmaceutical drug. Evil is alive. Sin is alive. Sickness is alive, and it can move, and it can morph, and morph, and morph. And the only thing that can kill it every single time is an organic faith in God. Because it can move, it can outsmart it, it can outthink it, it can outmaneuver it every single time and attack it and kill it. So I have to have that. I got to fight the process. I got to fight over processing. I got to fight over creating a little creed, a little kumbaya, a little lifting the hands here, and a nice little prayer over here. I've got to fight it because my mind will try to create a religion somewhere. My mind will try to come back to a nice little set here, and now I say this prayer, and now I reach out to this person until I'm not even engaged anymore. I'm just going through the motions, and we've all done it. We've all been there. We can worship God and think we're worshiping God, and all we're doing is mouth and words. But there's no engagement. There's no, we're not digging down into those wells of our life and allowing that water to come forth and the Spirit of God to hover again until all of a sudden, my God, I've sang the same song 1,000 times, but this time I can sense and feel the very presence of God on the inside of me. Faith has got to have an object. And the only object of faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have faith in anything. You can have faith in the moon. We got a lot of people who say they have faith. They have faith in the moon. They have faith in the stars. They have faith in the earth. They have faith in humanism. They have faith in this. I don't want that. That's all counterfeit. I want faith in the person. In the person of Jesus Christ. There's an interesting scripture talked about in the life of Joseph. In Genesis 39, it's in verse 2, it's in verse 21. And I love what it says. Listen to it. It says, and the Lord, this is so simple, a few words. And the Lord was with Joseph. Yeah. You think, well, yeah, that's good. No. And the Lord. I love what it says, because I also love what it doesn't say. It says, and the Lord was with. What made the difference in this guy's life? And the Lord was with Joseph. How did he move from a prison to a prime ministership? And the Lord was with him. It doesn't say an idea. We love ideas. God gives ideas. But it's more than an idea. It's the person that gives the idea. I love principles. I teach principles. I embrace them because they came from the Bible. But it says, but there's a person behind the principle. And it's the person of Jesus Christ. The Lord. We did our pastor's day the other day, and I love what one of the guys said. We got to stick to true north. Our true north is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord was with him. Then there's another fascinating scripture in John's epistle, his first epistle. And I love what he said. He said, my eyes have seen him. My ears have heard him, and my hands have handled him. He is the word of life. I love that. My eyes saw him. These ears have heard him. These hands have handled him. He is the word of life. It's a powerful, powerful thought. Now let me just create a few scenarios here. Let's say I already know this, but let's just say that I went up to John. Now, Vanessa's back there somewhere, but she would be, but anyhow, and you can't hurt this guy. You can't hurt this guy. And I said, I want to take you to dinner. Anywhere. The best restaurant in Australia. Let's not limit it to Brisbane. And I'm paying. I've got money. Amen. 4 credit cards. And I said, John, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? Anywhere. Where do you want to go? What do you want to eat?
Italian.
Uh-huh. What kind of Italian?
Seafood linguine.
Seafood linguine. And then I think to myself, I think, John, man, something came up. My God, I just got a text from Pastor Andrew. He told me I can't go. But I'm going anyhow. And I mean, I'm not going, but I'm going to give you a card. You pay for it. I'm paying for it anyhow. John, I'm paying for it. And the only thing I ask is when you and Vanessa are sitting, both of you, there's no fun by yourself. And you're sitting there. And you are literally inhaling the smell of the food. And it's creating a emotional and mental intoxication at that point. And as it's set in front of you, your saliva glands are just reaching. And you take that first bite and you put it in your mouth. And your mouth comes alive with the food. At that moment, call me up. Just call me up and tell me what it tastes like. Would you do that? Would you do that? Would you do that? Would you do? Oh, and then, feel so generous, so generous, so generous, so generous, that I come up to your, Ginger, I come to your pastor and say, we want to go on a holiday. And all of us, and I'm paying for first class tickets. We're going to fly first class. We don't want coach. We don't want coach. First class. Beds, the big beds. I mean, and anywhere you want, I'm paying for. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go?
Europe.
Where?
France.
And then I find out I can't go, but I'm still there. But they're, what do they care? I'm paying for it. And the only thing, Pastor Andrew and Wendy, the only thing I ask is when you're on the French Riviera, the sun is beginning to gently go down. The breeze is whispering through the trees. You're walking hand in hand down the French Riviera. I'm getting into it. The only thing I ask, call me up and tell me what it's like. Would you do that? You do that? And then, where's Will? Get up here quick. Run, Will. Get up here. Stand right there. You got a friend here? Bring him. What's his name? Just you come up here. He can walk by himself. Come up here and stand over here. Fast, Will. Fast. Joel? You said Joel? Joel. Okay. You stand right there. You stand right here. Kind of like that. Right there. Now, Will, we're going to go back in time. Prior to marrying Holly. You've met her. You begin to take her out for a coffee. This goes on for a while. Your heart's beating. And you pop the question, will you marry me? And she says, sure. So we come to that day of the marriage. Joel, right, Joel, is your best man. Best man. Best man. Best man. Pastor Andrew's doing the wedding, and he comes to that point in the wedding that every man is anticipating. That's why you just had 45 breath mints. And he looks at you, Will, and he says, now you can kiss the bride. And all of a sudden, you look at your watch. You think, oh, well, I got an appointment across town. So you turn to Joel. And you say, can you do me a favor? Can you kiss her for me? And then after you kiss her, call me up and tell me what it's like. Would you do that? No. Would you do that? No. No, 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 you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that. Now listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. John said, my eyes, my eyes, my eyes, my eyes, my eyes, my eyes, my eyes. Not their eyes, my eyes, my eyes have seen, my ears, my ears, my ears. He wasn't content. He didn't want a secondhand revelation. He didn't want to live by the testimony of somebody else. I want my eyes. I do not want to hear about seafood linguine. I want to eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it. Eat it. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about the French Riviera. I mean, it's nice, it's fine, but I don't want to just see a picture. I want to walk down the French Riviera. And when I got married 41 years ago at the age of 3, nobody kissed my wife but me. My eyes have seen them. My ears have heard them. I don't want to be content hearing about God. Thank God for a testimony. But the purpose of a testimony is to create inside of me divine dissatisfaction, something that stirs me up and said, if God can do it for them, God can do it for me. I want to hear them. I want to see them. I want to touch them. Young people, never be content just hearing about it. Experience God. That's when faith comes alive. I never hit a woman. That's when faith comes alive. Press in, there's nothing. There's no equal to the presence of God. There's no substitute. If we want faith to come alive, we have to push in and say, I want my eyes to see them. I want my ears to hear them. I want my hands to touch them. God, I want your presence. You got to press it until he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you to the ends of the earth until inside of our own imagination, sometimes we can see Jesus because he is there. I can see him there. He's next to me in the car. He's right by my bed. His Holy Spirit's on the inside. He's leading me, guiding me, directing me. My God, there's no substitute for it. And we don't want to be content. I don't want to be content hearing about him. I want to experience him. The Bible said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, Australia is amazing in the Summer Olympics. In fact, Australia wins more medals per capita in the Summer Olympics than any other nation. I'm building you up, Sam Billion, for a reason. But, in the Winter Olympics, you guys suck. Until a guy came around years ago by the name of Stephen Bradbury. And he was about to change the fate and the future and the faith of Australia. You think that's funny, Ryan? Now let me tell you about Bradbury. He was never the fastest skater. He was not the best skater. But the guy kept skating. You see what ignites faith in the human heart? As I press into the presence of Jesus, he will always create inside of me a passion and a purpose. He'll never stop. He'll never stop. He never called people to duty. He called people to purpose. He'll pull something out. You're never too young. You're never too old. Don't think you can sit back and do nothing. God will pull you out of retirement and put something big on the inside of you again. Well, the reason why I like Bradbury had a purpose and a passion. Prior to the Olympics, he was impaled one time by a fellow speed skater. Lost 4 liters of blood. But he still had enough left to continue. And then 2 years after that, he broke his neck. Every time they said, you'll never skate again, but somehow Bradbury got it. Don't you love somebody that gets up? There's something. I love it. I do. It just gets me so excited. There's something in the heart of God. I'm telling you, I just watched Braveheart again for the 14th time. And when I watch it, God stands up inside of me. Especially because there's something in God's heart that he put in the heart of every human being God loves the person that'll get up. The Apostle Paul was knocked to the ground by a blinding light, and the first words he heard were, "Get up." I love it. God loves it when you get up. Bradbury kept getting up. There was a purpose. There was a passion. All the way to February the 16th, 2002, Salt Lake City, Utah, Bradbury was a 1,000-meter speed skater. He got into the semifinals, doing the best he could, but the best he could do wasn't quite good enough. He came in third. You got to place one or two to go to the finals. He came in third. When all of a sudden, in a twist of fate, the guy that came in second was disqualified. Bradbury steps in to second place. He now qualifies for the final. He goes all the way to the finals, skating for the gold. The 1,000 meter, bam, they're off. I don't know how they do it. I've never skated a day in my life, but they started. I don't think they shoot a gun, but whatever happens, they go. And they're off. Bradbury was the last. He wasn't in front. He wasn't in the middle. He was the last guy. But he had passion. He had purpose. I'm going to skate. He just kept showing up all of his life. He just kept showing up. When everybody said, "Stop, you broke your neck," I'm going to go out and show up again. When he lost 4 liters of blood, he came back with what blood was left in his body and kept showing up again and kept showing up again. He wasn't the fastest. He wasn't the best. You might not be the fastest. You don't have to be the best. But there's something inside the heart of God and the heart that we have, the way if you just get up with a purpose, with a passion, say, "God, you don't have to be the best. Just be the best you can be. Don't compete against anybody. Just show up and keep showing up. Keep showing up." And that's what he did. When as they were rounding whatever it is, that arena, he was the last guy. The last guy, when all of a sudden, the Chinese skater falls and takes out the whole pack. There's nobody left. But Stephen Bradbury. And he skates into the gold medal. Now listen to me. Oh my God. Ecclesiastes. This scripture is so powerful. Got hair on it. I mean, it's strong. Ecclesiastes 9:11 NLT translation. He says, "I have observed something under the sun." I love this. It's so filled with energy and hope for everybody. He said, "The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. The strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. The wise sometimes go hungry, and the skillful are not necessarily wealthy. And those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. It is all decided by chance, by being at the right place at the right time." The word chance, or the equivalent word coincidence, appears nowhere in the Hebrew text. It's a Hebrew word called quora, and it means a God-appointed time. And there's something to that person that no matter if they fall, they get up. They might not be the best. They might not be the fastest. They might not be the best looking. They might not be the best talented. And God says, "You don't have to be the best. You don't have to be the most talented. You don't have to be the greatest. All you need to do is begin to have a passion and a purpose on the inside of your heart. And even if you fall, get up and start skating again and skating. And you will skate into. You will walk into. You will see the day arrive. And it's going to be more than one, more than one, more than one, where you're going to walk into a God-appointed time where you'll look around and you'll say, but God, but God, but God, but God. Nobody could have done this. Nothing. I couldn't have ever put this thing together, but God, I'm telling you right now, I can feel, I can sense it on the inside. This but God, there's some of you right now been discouraged. Some of you right now have been disappointed. Some of you have thought to yourself, but I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian a long time. I haven't seen other people talk about it. Why haven't I seen it? But God, God's about to show up. Relinquish the reins of your life. Put them in His hands again. Wake up every day. And connect to the presence of God. Don't try to figure out. Do the best you can do every day with what God gave you. And you're going to end up in a God-appointed time of your life.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.